Today's Tuesday, March 18th, 2024. Here's what's coming up on a mayor's office.
If catching the ball out front is so important, how come you don't hit with the tee 5 feet in front of the freaking plate? Yeah. Why, if that's what we should be practicing, why is the tee not 4 feet in front of the plate? Uh-huh. The tee is back off your front leg or back even, you know, from your midsection.
Yeah.
You have to actually let the ball get there to hit. And I'm in love. How we doing, brother? How was the weekend, man?
Weekend was good, man. Feeling good. Sun's coming out, getting warm around here. I spent a lot of time back there. Reset the wall. Got the bobble up.
Bro, that looks so sweet. The mayor's office bobblehead. Let's go. Yeah.
Threw the 2000 Columbia Baseball MVP trophy up there just for kicks. I haven't broken that out in a while, to be honest.
When was that?
A long time ago.
Hey, dude, no.
Beginning of the millennium. Hey, speaking of Columbia, ready?
Roar, Lions, roar from the Hudson Valley.
Dude, Lady Lions, man, they're going to the big dance.
Dude, that's a big deal, right? Didn't you say they're like the fans are coming out in droves?
Fans are coming out in droves. Harold Reynolds went to a Columbia basketball game 2 weeks ago. That's how big time they are, and he didn't even go to Columbia.
Who did they beat? Princeton?
I don't know who they beat. They actually lost in the Ivy League finals, but they had such a great year. But they beat Princeton, which was like big.
Oh, they had such a great year. They got in.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Large bid. It's not easy to get an at-large
bid. That's not easy, dude.
Anything from the Ivy League.
That is not easy. Yeah.
Yeah. Just look at what happened to St. John's basketball around here. And they didn't make it to the big dance because all the buzzer beaters and all those automatic bids in the men's league.
St. John's didn't get in?
No, Rick Pitino lost his stuff. He's pissed. A lot of people pissed. Seton Hall's pissed, too. A lot of East. West. Forget about East Coast bias, man.
It's over, dude. Now it's West Coast bias.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of West Coast bias, on the eastern part of the world, how's that for a transition?
Nice. Dude, really quick. Yeah. Before we get into baseball.
Okay.
I just want to talk about the Steelers for a second.
Okay. Oh, dude, we didn't even. I know.
Dude, Russell Wilson
and Fields.
And Fields coming now are the new quarterback. I remember when they got Russell Wilson, you know, Lambuski was like, well, you know, they're not going to develop Pickett and all this stuff and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Next thing you know, Pickett's gone. And then Fields is in.
Yep.
And they got one of the best linebackers, too. That Queen or the guy from Ravens.
I'm telling you what, I think it's a good move. And dude, I've seen a lot of Pittsburgh fans on the internet kind of like down. They didn't want Russell Wilson, but you're better, dude. You can go to the Super Bowl this year.
We're way
better. Paying him nothing. They're between him and Fields.
$1.2 million.
Yeah. Go look at the average starting quarterback salary in the NFL. The Steelers fleeced everybody. I mean, domination station. Great job,
Dominic. So I had to bring that up because
yeah, I forgot.
If you're just if you're not a football fan,
no,
to see Wilson and Fields with the Steelers and got to give props out to my man Andy Weidel and Omar. Those guys are dominating.
Yeah, dude. But the thing is, man, you got to – it's like, oh, he's done. He's washed up. I love it when the old guys can prove you wrong. Like Russell, yeah. Got to prove people wrong.
Dude, didn't last year he still had 26 touchdowns and 8 picks.
Go to his entire career. Those couple of years with like, yeah, his time with the Broncos, which was a mess. The Broncos were a mess anyway.
Right.
Numbers are not off. Not
they're not bad. They're not bad.
No.
And Sean Payton didn't like him. Like he won a couple games in a row that got benched. And everyone's like, what's going on here?
Did not like him. That was obvious. That was clearly obvious. Anyway.
So, all right. Now to baseball.
No, but good point, man. You got to represent your hometown.
Yeah, I had to get it in there, bro. Had to get it in there. We're all fired up around here in Pittsburgh.
No, that's great. So the Soul Games, we should call them the Soul Games. It's like the Olympics, man.
Yeah.
These games in Korea, you're locked in on this stuff, aren't you?
Well, dude, I'm locked in because, like I said, I went to Japan in 2008, one of the coolest trips of my life. And I was saying, over in Asia, baseball's huge. We don't realize it. And one of the cool things I saw was Ha-Seong Kim, you know, obviously the shortstop for the Padres. This guy can play, dude. Go look at his numbers. Good player, right? Came over here a few years ago, solid as can be. Well, dude, one thing you don't realize when you're, you know, from the U.S. or you're in Major League Baseball, you don't realize how big some of your buddies are over where they're from.
Right.
You just think, oh, dude, here we are, California, Texas, you know, Pittsburgh, all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. You don't realize there's only a few of these dudes coming over from, you know, Japan and Korea, you know, and so they were talking about how in Seoul, they had a big, you know, baseball clinic or whatever. And, dude, they said the fans came out in droves for Ha-Seong Kim.
Mm-hmm.
The president came out.
Yeah, it's
the crazy. South Korean president came out. And what's cool is, like, you hear, like, Freddie Freeman, these guys going, wow, we didn't realize how big he is here. We didn't realize. And Chan Ho Park was there, too. I faced Chan Ho. I mean, Chan Ho, these guys are big deals, man. And I think it's cool. It's cool for everybody, but it's cool for the teammates of mm-hmm. these guys. When you go over and you see how big these guys over in their hometown, in their countries, then you come back to play with them. You look at them differently. You just do.
Yeah, yeah. Because think about the pressure that's on them too. You're representing a country.
Country, exactly.
Like the entire team goes to represent your country. You are one man representing your country.
Exactly.
Yeah. Dude, I saw another cool thing. I like the cultural stuff about all of it and the differences between how preparation is done and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I saw a video the other day. What do you think about this? They hit off tees on the field during batting practice. They had like five, you know, those like cages you used to have in your basement when you hit the ball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the dudes are just ripping. They're doing tee work when they're not in the cage hitting BP. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Dude, that's what we do. We used to do that back in the day. It's funny. Well, it's funny. You
do that in high school. You would no, do.
But it's funny you say that. Why are they not doing that anymore?
I don't understand.
Because like, we did. You did that. I did that growing up. I did that in the minors.
Right.
I did that in the big leagues. When I first came up with Cleveland, Charlie Manuel would have a cage set up.
Yeah.
Or a net set up, and you're hitting in the net. Then you go hit your BP group.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore, dude.
No. Dude, what about, don't you miss taking infield, dude? I loved it, dude.
Yes.
In high school, especially when you're like trying to get to college or something to show off your arm or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Scouts come, like, I used to think like that was like just as important to how well I played in the game was how hard you practice before the game. Like I felt, yeah, oh, yeah. That's what the scouts were looking at. Especially
it's for true.
Little guy.
No, it's true. Dude, except when you get to the big leagues, you hate it. Because you play every day. You're like, my first year in the big leagues, we were taking infield outfit every day. I'm like, wow. Like some of the veteran guys, like, I'm not doing it. I'm like, all right, I can't say that yet, but this is terrible.
You're down with it. Yeah, that's true. You're playing 162 games. You probably don't have to take infield every day. What was I going to say? You're good and locked in on the Toronto stuff, man. You said Joey Votto should go to Toronto. He did go to Toronto.
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, he did go to Toronto. And then first, I think it's the first pitch he saw as a Toronto Blue Jay.
Yeah, he went deep.
Oppo.
I know.
Pretty crazy, dude.
Bro. And then he twisted his ankle in the dugout, had to come out of the game.
Rolled over.
Stepped on a bat. Yeah. Don't
leave your bats on the ground in a dugout.
Let's get the bats up. What are we doing, Toronto?
That's a fine. That's a big time fine, right? Imagine.
A huge fine, dude. But, dude, can you imagine if Joey Votto turns out to be like the Brandon Belt of 2023 for the Blue Jays. He comes out like a DH a little bit, maybe play first every once in a while, give Vlad a day off. But
yeah,
bro, that swing looked good. And he's healthy, man. Don't forget, last year he came back from shoulder surgery. Mm-hmm. That's not easy to come back from. So having a full year out from that, this could be a nice sign for the Blue Jays, bro.
I also want to tell you one other thing he said, which was interesting to me. He talked about, let me see if I can find a quote. I don't know if I have the quote, but he said, that's the swing I should have been doing. Like, he's like, it was an anomaly. I shouldn't be pulling home runs. I'm Joey Votto. I should not be pulling home runs as much as I was. And he's like, I think this is a swing I've been looking for the past couple of years. And like you said, and he goes, and I was hurt and I just couldn't get there.
Couldn't get there.
He's like, that's the swing. You know, that's the, 2.0 Joey Votto swing. And dude, he is a student of the game. You know, he's
he knows.
But he knows what he's doing, right?
Dude, I'll tell you what. When I had shoulder surgery in 2002, it changed my career. First off, it changed my swing. I was like, if I hit 25 home runs in 99, I hit 20 home runs in 2000. I'd say a third of my homers would have left center. Mm. 2000, so I got shoulder surgery in 2002. 2003 was like just a grind to come back from because I knew I only had 19 doubles. Usually I'm hitting like 35 to 45 doubles, 19 doubles, 8 to 14 homers. 2004, I backed 44 doubles, 24 bombs, you know, 324, back at it, right? Mm. But, dude, my swing was different. I think I hit 24 homers. I hit one oppo.
Wow.
So I hit 23 to center and right. It changed everything, right? And I wish I would have, I wish back then I would have rehabbed more. And I kept staying strong as opposed to like just thinking I was back playing because, you know, I really should have been doing tons of exercises. Like they know that now, which I didn't know then, obviously. But you can understand with Votto, man, you know, you could see why he was hitting like 190, 200, because just getting so pull heavy, those guys up there will eat you up, man. As soon as they see that front shoulder coming right, you might be able to juice a couple middle in, but if anything soft away or two seamers away, you know, I think that was what turned into his kryptonite. And that was always Joey Votto's strength, was that left center gap. So to see him go to left center is big for him and the Blue Jays.
Yeah. You know what I like about baseball in the current scheme of things? I know we don't totally agree with all the launch angle and all that stuff, but I remember when I was younger, like think about like the 90s and maybe even the 80s. Like if you were an opposite field type hitter, it was like slappy kind of guy. If you can't pull the ball, you can't play in this league. I wish I'd been playing in this generation because I literally hit the ball the other way almost every time I ever played in a baseball game. But like
that's why you're a good hitter though.
Well, true. Yeah, I was in for average and stuff like that. But like you look at guys now and it's like, I mean, just look at Aaron Judge. Like, is it embarrassing to hit a ball the opposite way when it's going 435 feet over a wall?
Dude, last year when he hit three home runs in a game twice, the one game, all three homers were to right center.
Yeah,
exactly. And right center and right.
Yeah. And I mean, and the more you think about it, and the more you talk about, like, you're a student of hitting more than maybe anybody in the world. But, like, just it's your swing is a certain way that if you're missing balls and hitting in the opposite way, and then you just happen to turn on the fastball, you're going right. What was your thing about Don Mattingly? He's trying to jam himself.
Let the ball get deeper. I always say, too, like, if catching the ball out front is so important, how come you don't hit with the tee 5 feet in front of the freaking plate? Yeah. Why don't, if that's what we should be practicing, why is the tee not 4 feet in front of the plate? Uh-huh. The tee is back off your front leg or back even, you know, from your midsection.
Yeah.
You have to actually let the ball get there to hit.
Dude, I just reminded me of something cool. The last times I were with Jim Tomey when we were both at MLB Network, we went in, we were just kind of getting ready to figure out how to do a demo or something. And we were just hitting off the tee in Studio 42. And he showed me a drill where he put the ball. It was like inside fastball. And he's like, I want you to hit this between a shortstop and the third baseman. And he was showing me how keeping your hands inside and trying to force yourself to stay inside so much and go the other way. He said he used to do that drill all the time when he was off. Did you ever hear that one?
That's great, dude. I used to do the same thing. Yeah, I used to do that drill. I used to put the tee like back on my back leg to see if I could still hit a liner up the middle. Like, you know, it's just those are the things. Because visually, man, you know, if you're living too far out front, you'll just get exploited. So Joey Votto saying like, man, I got too pull heavy. Start living out front, man. You start losing that visual. You start rushing to the ball. You start getting out there, front shoulders flying. It's like you start going to left center, you become a problem.
Yeah. I remember like when Wade Boggs was like in his prime with the Red Sox in those first couple of years with the Yankees, the opposing dugouts would just stand completely as far away from each other as possible because he used to just foul balls. He used to wait so long. Yeah. He used to just rip rockets into
I used to do that too, bro. I used to rocket him in the other dugout. Like
you're being paid. You're waiting.
Yeah, and I didn't mind that. I liked it. If I found balls over their dugout or into their dugout, I knew I was right on.
Wow, that's interesting. That's cool. Okay. One more big news item that came over the weekend. Bob Nightingale, I think, was the first to report this, that Snell told the Astros he would go there.
Wow.
We don't know what's going further upon that. I kind of think, I really do think, I mean, unless, I think it'd be a surprise at this point if Snell is a Yankee. I think your San Frans and your Astros type teams, and what did we say, the Angels a few weeks ago?
Yeah, dude, I don't count out the Giants.
The Giants, yes, the Giants, yes. San Fran. That's San Fran.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, you said San Fran. Okay, sorry. I was reading as you were talking, so my bad.
That's okay. That's how we roll. Yeah, so what do you think? Listen, Verlander, you know, he's not ready for opening day. We forget how, like, durable and great Verlander has been in his career, but he's still older. I mean, you still got to take that into account. So, and then let's just say Verlander comes back and he's fine. Now you got Snell, Verlander. They would have a pretty decent staff there.
You kidding me? I think Snell would be a great fit in Houston. He'd be a great fit, both of those. He'd be a great fit wherever he goes.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. Houston and the Giants make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then there's one other quick report that I saw that the Mets kind of downplayed, like they might not be going after JD Martinez now. It's very strange, dude. We're weeks away. Like, what if you have a fantasy draft? You draft JD. Yeah,
what is going on? Like,
I don't know.
You guys waiting to sign so late.
I mean, is it a Boris thing or is it?
I think it's is JD Martinez Boris too?
I don't know if he is. You always said like the agents work for you. You know. At the end of the day, you have to tell the agent what you like. You got to say to him once at some point, like, I have to get into a camp. I need to play baseball today.
Yeah, at some point, you got to play, you know?
Yeah. It's like what Christian Yelich said to you. He goes, the first day of spring training, he goes, you might as well just stand in your front yard with your cleat for 8 straight hours and not move. Like, there is a physical, there's a mental thing. There's the thing I get up and this is where I'm going to go. Hey, I'm going to a new team. What are my teammates like? Am I going to have friends? Do I have friends on a team I'm going to? Where am I going to live? Like, how do you? I feel like I'd be so behind the eight ball. I'd be so nervous right now that I'm like, my season's almost ruined already. But that's just me and my nerves. Now, if I waited long enough and you were paying me like $35 million a year, I'm sure I'd jump right into camp and feel pretty good about myself. But
yeah,
I don't know.
You're right, dude. You're right. There's definitely something. I mean, it is one thing too. I do think spring training is too long. So if I was a veteran guy, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to wait it out, knowing I'm going to sign. But like spring training is ending.
It's ending.
And it's got 10 days to go, probably 2 weeks.
If that. Anyway. No. All right. So that's where we're at right now. From here,
right. It's just awesome.
Oh, by the way, your boy Volpe 4-for-4 in a game the other day.
So I know. Dude.
Lying about how he's, the scouts are saying, like, wow, his swing is
so much more level. Yeah,
on all year last year when you were there with him, right?
Dude, he was like loading so low last year and taking these big swings. Like, what you don't understand, you almost less is more in the big leagues, man. You got to let them supply the power. They're moving it. They're throwing 98 miles an hour. Let the touch it. You'll hit a bullet somewhere.
Nice.
You want these guys to swing out your ass. You know, no, dude, this doesn't work. Yeah. Doesn't work for a guy like Volpe, who was so young too and impressionable. Yeah, that's good. Like, no, it's not.
Well,
that's why I said, I was like, dude, get rid of that load back, get your swing a little more level, go back to like hitting 330 like you were in the minors. Where's that guy?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Well, all right, good. I gotta get going.
And they have enough thunder in that lineup, Chinch. They don't need Volpe to even hit 20 homers. Just be a absolutely good player.
Right. Just be a good player.
Just be a good player. Get on base. Just Soto, Judge, Stanton, Rizzo, they'll drive you in.
Steal 40 to 50 bags and score 109 runs, and it's a good season for Volpe.
Kidding me? It's incredible season. Exactly. Hit ninth.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna go run because here's what I'm gonna do today. I'm redoing our look a little bit.
Nice, dude. What are you doing?
Well, a couple enhancements for you.
All right, I like it. I like it. All right, can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see it.
It's not gonna be totally different, but we're gonna have a nice little.
All right, is Jess helping you?
Enhancements. No, man, I got this. I sit in sit here and just look Google YouTube videos on how to make the show look good.
Dude, by the way, talk about Googling YouTube videos. I fixed the garbage disposal last night, dude.
How?
Oh, because it was broke. I was going to call my buddy Nate, who's a plumber guy. He's incredible, but charged me like $800 to fix my disposal every time. So I'm like, forget this. I'm like, I'm figuring this out. So go to YouTube. Next thing you know, I freaking get this little, you know, ratchet wrench underneath, put it in there, turn it, hit the, you know, this little red button on the bottom, boom, go hit it, boom. I thought Sarah was going to, she gave me the biggest hug ever. She was so freaking excited.
Dude,
honestly.
When my sister,
I think that fired her up more than anything in my entire life. Like, I think outside of marriage, me fixing the disposal last night is probably number two.
That's big when you can pull that off for the ladies. I agree, dude. When my sister-in-law had Amaya, her baby, everything she learned how to be a parent on YouTube. Because now you get all these devices and how to, you know, connect the sleeping sound system in another room, whatever. Everything she did. Oh wait, hold on. She pulled out. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, I'm like holding the baby, trying to make the baby work. She's like, I got to learn how to do whatever this kind of pumping thing that gives a kid so she can breathe better. And I'm like, and she's on she's on YouTube,
dude. Everything's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. It's good stuff.
I was with a buddy. The reason I went on YouTube, I was with a buddy this weekend last weekend at Jillian's volleyball tournament. He's like, man, I go, yeah, what are your hobbies? He's like, dude, YouTube videos. I like to try to fix things around the house. On YouTube, because you can fix anything on YouTube. I'm like, wow. He's like, I redid all the floors. I redid my house. I'm like, so then I thought, like, when the disposal went down, I was like, I can do this.
Yeah, there you go.
Somebody on YouTube is going to tell me, and I get on my hands and knees. I'm under the sink. Incredible. First time down there, I was like, I got to get under the sink more.
I agree. You know what else YouTube is great for? Liking and subscribing to the mayor's office show.
Yes. Great, great point, Chinch.
We're working on something. Maybe tomorrow we'll lock it down, but we might be getting ready for giveaway number two.
Yeah, we are getting ready for it. All right, yeah. Let's lock that down tomorrow then.
Yeah, tomorrow will be a reveal of giveaway number two, and I think it's a good one if we what we were thinking. I think.
Yeah, we're gonna make it happen. All right, that's right. So if anyone needs to fix a disposal, YouTube. Yes. If anyone needs... No, if you need to 100% subscribe and download Mayor's Office, YouTube.
Yes.
Exactly. All right, Chichi.
Have a great
day. Brother. Have a great rest of the day. Everyone out there, thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Manana. I'm doing Duolingo. Manana.
Nice.
See you, brother. See you.